Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four.
I need you to pull the clip of in that same highlight. After he gets his control together, I think my man hits a ball a billion feet. And his call on it is amazing.
Yeah, Bob Uecker passed today at the age of 90 as we rejoin you at 5 o'clock on Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby, one of baseball's great personalities, did die today, early today in Milwaukee. Tony texted me the sad news this morning, and I have to admit to a tear or two, Tony. Bob Uecker just had that impact on all of us. Tony knew him, having played for the Brewers, but those who didn't, I think, felt like they did. And
was his superpower.
Right.
You didn't have to play for the Brewers in order to for him to make you feel like you knew him.
Yeah, he was something special, and just flat out funny. Just flat out funny, and certain people are just that. And he will be missed. To those fans of the Brewers, fans of Major League Baseball, the movie Major League, from which that clip was. Light beer from Miller commercials, Mr. Belvedere, Johnny Carson. The guy did all right in 90 years. Not too shabby. And also hit a home run once off Sandy Koufax. We welcome you back. That is kind of the story that's going around today. We've got a good NBA game tonight that just got underway. Cleveland and, Oklahoma City has bolted out, Tony. 32-14. Favor the Thunder over the Cavs at the end of the first quarter.
Can I change my pick?
You might want to change your pick on that one. OKC trying to get even after Cleveland beat them last week. College basketball, we got a couple of local teams in action tonight. Actually, USD, if you want to see a good college basketball game, Washington State is in town tonight at Jenny Craig Pavilion. So a little local college hoops for you as well. We're coming up on the NFL playoffs. We're going to have our picks coming up in this hour. And also a little NBA news. LeBron's manager wants to start up a new rival NBA league. That was met with silence, which I kind of think it may be elsewhere. We'll see.
What's the point of it, though? Like, why?
To make money.
Of course. But why try to take on the NBA? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, why are
you're not going to beat the NBA?
Who wants to beat them? The XFL and the...
You just could be... I mean, listen...
Right. The XFL isn't trying to beat the NFL. They're just trying to make some money.
The NFL isn't a thing anymore.
They all say that that's the idea, right?
But they're a feeder league. Like, they're a, hey, you play well here, you might get a shot with the NFL team. Is that what this league is going to be?
Listen, as much as it is in the dream of the NFL and NBA to somehow make some international teams a part of their league is a pie in the sky. I don't think it'll ever be able to happen for either league. They can keep going playing games over there as much as they want. They will never have that a London team as a part of the NFL as we know it. And so I think the same goes for the NBA. And so it's feasible to see if you can put an international league together if you have the backing and the money. It sounds like $5.2 billion might get you somewhere started in the ballpark
area. See, that's the crazy part.
The arena.
Because that's a hefty goal.
Just think about it. That's an NFL. That's one NFL team.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I mean, that five is probably more like two NFL teams,
yeah.
But still, they're trying to start a league with that. So, I mean, I don't know that there's much to worry
Speaking
about.
Speaking of a ton of money, too, a lot of people are coming out now. More and more and more. I think, was it the Chargers? Spanos and Company pledged like $100 to the fire aid victims.
I think it was more than $100,000.
$200,000.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Which for them is about $100,000, I must say. Clippers owner Steve Ballmer, $15 million today.
He and his wife. Made the Spanos' look good.
How much?
$15 million. Spanos is $200,000.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, come on.
That's not even a.
Yeah.
Close.
And, I mean, donations are rolling. Of course, Ballmer can. He does, I think, have more money than everybody.
He's the number one, but that looks kind of crazy. $15 million, $200,000. Here you go.
Let me give you a couple $100,000 here.
And I think the Houston Texans donated $1 million.
Yeah, they're not even in LA.
Not even from the state.
And then Dino walking around the field with his LAFD hat. Yeah. By the way, I am fully supporting the fire department, but with Dean in an LAFD hat, it was not good.
The fire department's not complaining about the $200,000, but it is kind of, it just looks crazy.
Seems a little paltry.
One guy's walking around with two duffel bags, and this guy has a briefcase.
And when you open the briefcase, there's like three stacks of money, not the whole thing.
Seems a little paltry.
Oh, wow.
Also, and we mentioned this earlier, I'm going to say it again because he's a San Diego guy, and I felt like I dissed him yesterday and shouldn't have. Taylor Fritz, the tennis guy, with a really nice announcement today. He's going to take all his winnings from the Australian Open, and that figures to be quite a bit, actually. By the time he's done, he's going to donate that this year. So a lot of people are really coming together, as normally happens. You know, somebody mentioned this to me yesterday, Tony, and they said, boy, the fire is a tragedy. It's the worst thing ever, but it does show off the best of humans and behavior and everybody coming together. And I said, yes, there's two things that bring cities together, polarize, everybody works for the same team. And that's unfortunately a tragedy like this and a successful sports franchise run.
Agree.
That's the two things where we all root for the same thing. So,
my man Atkinson is about to lose his mind, or he almost just.
Oh, the Cleveland.
He
coach?
Almost pushed the referee into the scores table. Right, he was chasing after him.
Wow, the referee had to slow him down. Yeah, 23-point game, and it's about to get worse for Cleveland.
The fan behind the coach just like stood up and started cheering in his face. That was kind of funny. Roki Sasaki, no news except for. A Japanese news source, maybe
this
tabloid
the one we talked about earlier?
Newspaper, yeah.
Chris, what's the time there now?
It's coming up on 10:07 a.m.
All right.
It's getting closer, maybe.
Might be the Chronicles time when the news drops.
If the news drops during the Chronicles, I'm calling foul play.
If the news drops during the Chronicles, I'm not letting you guys anywhere near this.
I'm calling in as a special guest if that happens.
But they put out this like cover of a newspaper, and the translation on Twitter is, it has been reported in today's Tokyo edition dated the 17th that pitcher Roki Sasaki, who is aiming to transfer to the majors from Lotte via the posting system, will decide on his transfer destination on the 16th, 17th Japan time. So it's January 17th in Japan. So apparently before midnight tonight, Roki Sasaki is going to announce something.
Midnight Japan time. And it's 10 a.m.
Well,
there
I guess
now.
Midnight Japan time. Midnight our time, too, because... Oh, never mind. Never mind. Never mind.
Yeah. Math off a little bit again?
Well, I remember that we're not 24 hours behind Japan. We're just like...
About 19.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We don't know if we 100% believe this story, but we're passing along everything we're hearing so that you guys can all take it for what it is and continue to cross those fingers. And we'll see. I mean, nobody knows.
I have a...
The Dodgers don't know either. That's the other part of this. I want people to think. People think like the Dodgers maybe... No, they don't know anything either.
No one knows. They're in the same boat.
It's just, it means... I'm sorry to say this, LA fans. It means a lot more to us to get him. You know, Dodgers can be another guy. Stockpile another one.
I have an update for the bearer of misinformation. Chris Ello.
Oh.
Taylor Fritz did not say he was going to donate all of his winnings. Taylor Fritz said he's donating his first round winnings.
Wow. Yes. What's his first round winnings?
Apparently 67,000 pounds is what I'm seeing on this article.
Pounds?
So,
oh, you read the article?
Yeah, there's an article. Fritz to give £67,000 prize money to L.A. fire victims.
Very good. Well, I was trying to make him sound better than he was, but he's still cool for doing it.
He is cool for doing that. That's $81,000.
You know, I read the headline that said Taylor Fritz donating Australian Open prize money to L.A. wildfire relief. So I thought that meant whatever prize money he earns.
Hmm.
Anyway, it's still nice, very nice of him to do it.
Yes.
So we'll give him that.
Yes. The thought, it's been, the thought that counts, Gravy.
It could have been more. Come on, Taylor. Could have been more. Now, here's the second day in a row I'm calling
him
out.
What?
Wait, is Taylor like a well-established?
He's number four in the world right now. He's way up there.
That is way up there.
Yeah.
So we should be counting this man's pockets like this, though. $67,000, like quite a bit.
Well, it was $81,000, US 81? Dollars.
Oh, so even more.
He donated, yeah, 81.
He almost got to six figures. He's right there.
He's closing in on Spanos.
He's right there next to Spanos, who owns a team. So, hey.
Spanos has two bags, Taylor has one bag, and Ballmer has five briefcases.
He's got a Brinks truck.
Yeah, he's backed up the truck.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we can't keep joking about this Roki thing forever, guys. We're just going to have to listen, get into it at some point.
Roki has not made his decision yet, so that leaves the space for us to keep making up stuff or getting it off the Japanese Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder how Elon Musk really likes... Yeah, I know he's tried really hard to brand the website X, but no one says X anymore.
It almost hurts to say X.
It doesn't feel
right.
It feels super weird. And
I say X and immediately say Twitter to kind of like make sure everybody knows what I'm talking
even
about.
Even Steph Curry said Twitter fingers.
Right.
Like, he's got to hate that, I would assume.
It's a better name. Sorry.
It is a better name.
Trying to change it to X for whatever reason.
Yeah, keep it the way it is.
Sounds ridiculous.
It does sound ridiculous.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Scrib, where are we going?
We're going to talk about the college thing I have.
Okay.
For us when we come
back. Good. All right. Thank you, Tony.
NFL traffic picks, is not ready yet. I'm
NFL
sorry.
Picks beyond that. Scraby, I think I heard him say the traffic is not ready.
Very nice.
You going to hear for Bryce Miller again?
We'll talk in the break.
Not refraining.
I know.
From saying what I really want to say.
The lonely boy.
The lonely guy.
Oh, it's the guy, sorry.
Yeah, lonely guy.
He's got the Lonely Chronicles coming up from 6 to 7.
I am definitely not lonely during the Chronicles.
Perspective from a lonely guy.
Right.
Chronicles.
Well, I was sitting in my room earlier, and I was it's kind of sad, so
that's it.
You do that too well, my friend.
Oh, I used to be Eeyore.
All right, we got our NFL picks to get to. I want to go over this story that is starting to circulate through... today's cycle, you know, there was a lawsuit led to, if anybody's paying attention to the colleges and scholarships and roster sizes, there was a lawsuit that kind of had set that up to look a certain way. The plans that many major college athletic departments are making for how they will distribute new direct payments to athletes, the Department of Education says, will violate Title IX law, according to a memo published by the U.S. Department of Education. The memo provides some long-awaited guidance for how gender equity laws will apply to a new era of college sports that is on track to begin this summer. It's not clear if the Department of Education will interpret it. Obviously, with a new president coming in, it could change. But CAA and the Power Conference had agreed to allow each school to share up to $20.5 million in direct payment to the athletes via name, image, and likeness deals. That, according to the Department of Education, will not fly. And some schools were talking about putting 75% of this money to their biggest sports, football, basketball.
Right.
Department of Education says not so fast.
Yeah,
you're going to have to distribute that evenly between your men
just like
and women.
Just like scholarships.
Yes.
That's why football teams get 110 scholarships, but there's not as many men's sports on campuses as women's teams because they have to give an equal number of scholarships.
Right. And so those roster sizes that college football was having up near 115, 120 – because of this lawsuit was being shrunk to about 85.
Wow.
But, full scholarships. And so that was going to take place across the board in the other smaller sports, bigger rosters, more scholarship money, but this is going to have to be evenly distributed. So this was a part of a settlement that may have to really start from scratch if what the Department of Education is saying to be true here. So stay tuned. That story is still developing.
Percolating.
You don't like that word, Greg? I don't like percolating.
They gotta figure out a way to out of this mess, and I don't know how they're going to get out of it.
They need to. Well, I want
the kids to get money, but not the way it's happening.
It sounded like there was a decision coming here in the next couple of weeks, but I don't know that this information messes that up or, you know, gives them better guidelines to how to do so. So there's that. Let's get to our picks.
Bump.
Oh.
It's time for Tony and Chris to face off. Playing for a season-long prize of pride.
I see pride. I see power.
The guys make their picks. And then they stress over their picks all weekend.
No! Please, no! No! No!
Quinn and Chris, NFL Pick'em starts now.
These guys are excited because...
No, not excited. We're on Mad Dog Russo right now.
Oh, you're
now.
Ripping it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put the Padres' 10th best uniform in baseball. You think that's too low?
I wasn't really ripping them. I was just making the point that it's Mad Dog. So all the top 10 uniforms are teams that have
old school
been around school. For a very long time. Although the Padres don't necessarily fit that criteria.
But, you know, Mad Dog's fashion sense is probably no better than
1,000%. So. We should not be worried about that.
I don't know how official this all is. All right, NFL playoff picks. Here we go. Tony won the week, but it's a cumulative playoff total.
Hold on. Brian Kenny ranked his uniforms, too. The Padres actually made the list today. I'm surprised by that. Very surprised by that.
He's still working there?
Yes, he's still working there. I'm sorry, Chris.
It's okay. Tony was 4-2 last week, but he had 16 points in our confidence rankings. Scraby was also 4-2, but had 14 points. So Tony's up by 2. I was terrible last week. 2-4, 8 points. But, alas, it's a new week. So we start with a four-point game of the divisional playoff round games. Which do you feel most confident in? I think last place should go first. My most confident team this week is the Portsmouth Spartans, better known as the Detroit Lions. Jaden Daniels is good. He did convince me last week that he's that good, but... I think the Lions have been the team to beat almost all year. They're getting just healthy enough. They need to be a little more healthy, I know, but I feel more confident in them than anyone this week. I'll take the Lions. Tony, for 4.
Give me my homeboy.
KC,
at home.
As
yes.
The pick for you. All right, KC. It's almost impossible to imagine them losing this game.
It is.
Yes.
But...
Any stranger things
ever? Stranger things. All right, Scraby, who's your top pick this week?
The Chiefs.
Chiefs?
Yep.
Yeah, who are the Chiefs?
The Chiefs.
That commercial's hilarious.
It is, yeah.
All right, 4. I went, obviously not with the Chiefs. I went with them for 3 points. And I think Detroit and Kansas City are both going to win. I just could see... The Chiefs have won 2 straight Super Bowls. There could just be one bad day awaiting them. And I also don't like the fact that they've had 3 weeks off. And I also don't like the karma of just letting the Denver Broncos into the playoffs by not even showing up for the last game. I'm still a little angry at them for that. So that's why they're my 3-point game this week. Tony, who's your 3?
Oh, I get the strange feeling I don't think they care about your karma on that.
No, I don't think they do, but I'm giving you my reasoning.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to flip-flop from what you did. Give
Lions.
Me Detroit
All right.
over the Commanders. Oof, almost called him by the wrong name.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me.
It might go back. Who knows?
Yeah. All right, Scraby, you've been talking big on the Commanders, so I'm assuming you're not going to go with the Lions as your 3-point pick.
Bring up your upset, baby.
Or are you?
No.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to take the Eagles.
The Eagles.
Rams are traveling. I know the Rams are playing good football right now, but they're on the road. Saquon Barkley is very good. Jalen Hurts is going to have an extra week of practice. I think they're going to win.
Barkley 255 rushing against the Rams in the regular season.
That also helps.
Doesn't hurt. 2-point pick for me will be, and I just think this is a great game, and it can go either way, but I was going to go with Josh Allen because I really like him. But after watching the Ravens the last, I'm going to say month, I think their defense has come to the point where it's better than Buffalo's defense. And I think that's going to make the difference in this game. I think the quarterbacks are going to both be incredible. The weather's going to be, downright awful. But I think Baltimore's defense is going to make the difference against Buffalo. So I'll take Baltimore for 2. Tony.
You know what pisses me off watching teams face Josh Allen? Because I watch how they treat a Lamar Jackson, where they don't necessarily, especially in these playoff games, they don't really rush to sack him. They rush to keep him contained. Mm-hmm. But every single time I watch Josh Allen play, it's like he breaks containment. It's like they don't, all they're trying to do is sack him. I think you have to treat Josh Allen very much like Lamar Jackson.
He doesn't look like he's fast.
I know he doesn't look, but at
but
this point,
is. You better
is,
know.
It's pretty obviously that he is. And he's big.
Yes.
So just keep him in there. I also will take Baltimore as my 2-point pick.
All right.
But I beg you, please stay in your lane, defensive lineman, and the spy, can we have one on him, please?
Maybe and make the guy kind of big because
he
I'm tired
at least
of these
the
little tiny
size.
Guys bouncing
you
off.
You can't
him.
Have a cornerback chasing him. It's got to be a big dude that can run.
My 2-point pick. I am going to go with the Bills. They're at
you
home.
Liked Buffalo.
They're at home. Nice. They haven't lost all year at home.
True that.
I mean, the Ravens. Obviously, Derrick Henry changes a lot, but Ravens are on the road. I did read a very interesting fact. I think Lamar is 3-1 in games under the freezing temperature, which is 32. Why is a guy from Miami so good at cold weather games?
That's a great question.
And can he teach the Dolphins how to do it?
He's so good at it. But I'll take the Bills.
You got the Bills. All right, we have one game left for each of us. Mine is the Rams-Philadelphia game. And I have to pick one upset every week. It's just in my DNA. I picked the favorite in the first three games, so I'm going to go with the Rams here. My big thing is that Jalen Hurts is not yet Jalen Hurts.
I see it too, brother.
He did not look at last week. Now, if this week has meant a lot to him and he comes out like Jalen, then the Rams, I think, are going to really have their work cut out for them. But Matthew Stafford's offense, he's whole again with Nacua and with Cooper Kupp. And so I'm going to take the Rams to pull off an upset here. But it would be an upset for sure. Tony.
I see the same thing you're seeing with Jalen. He could very well get back to his normal self. But I honestly think that the Rams can't stop this running game. And I think that's going to buy Hurts another week to
another
kind of
week,
get,
okay.
get himself together.
Yeah,
I'm going to take the Eagles
All
at
right.
this point.
Okay. That's a Raven.
Scraby, I know you're...
It's not a Falcon?
We saved the best for
<That's>
last. Scraby is going to explain to us how the Commanders are going to beat the Lions, and it's not going to have anything to do with the actual game.
No, it's not.
It's going to have to do with the fact that he hates the Lions because they've taken over for the 49ers as the best team in the NFC.
I just think that the Lions are overconfident. Their defense is very injured, and I think that Jaden Daniels is good enough to take advantage of that terrible injured defense right
terrible
now.
Terrible injured defense. Okay. You got him. Yeah. Commanders are yours for 1.
I really hope that the Commanders win.
I know you do, and I have to root hard for the Lions because I don't want you to be happy about it.
We'll stay in misery.
That's right.
You are our tennis guy.
I'm a guy.
Did you see the story on Pam Shriver?
I saw she had some trophies stolen.
Yeah. While she was, her house, she was fleeing from the fires. Mm. She lived apparently in the Pacific Palisades. Her Hellcat discovered missing.
Is that a missile?
The Hellcat is the Charger. It's like a souped-up version.
Oh, a car.
It's a car. It's a Hellcat.
A Hellcat's also a missile, I believe.
Dodge Durango Hellcat. So in this case, it's a Durango, and Hellcat is like the specialty yes. piece to
it's
it.
It's like anyway, the Raptor of Forbes.
Right, exactly. She had her trophy stolen out of that car. 5 Wimbledon trophies, 5 French Open trophies,
wow.
open plates.
She was a doubles champ many, many times. I don't think she ever won a singles Grand Slam, but a double. She was one of the best doubles players ever, so she had a lot of those trophies. Shame.
Yeah, it sucks.
Stuff you cannot get back.
I think France or Paris is going to replace some of the medals that were lost in the fire for, I can't remember which athlete
it was. Oh, yeah, there were some. I saw that. Yeah, they lost her.
Man, can you imagine just rifling around that and finding a bunch of medals?
Hey, you know what? Not funny thing, but remember, got people were posting their medals because they didn't look good
this year.
Just goes to show you, man. Like, you just got to cherish those things, regardless of what they look like, because they could be lost very easily.
Very true.
All right, let's get to the break. On the other side, Bryce Miller joined us earlier. You get a chance to hear it again.
He was informative and entertaining. And scolding me.
Gwen and Chris.
Hi, Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scravey. He of the Chronicles, which gets underway at 6 o'clock tonight. Top of the hour, Scraby will be taking over.
I have a skydiving video for everyone.
That's been heavily edited.
I had to edit out some of my swear words, and I had to also edit out. It was hurting a certain part of my body really bad. So,
how old is the skydiving video?
I was
when
still
did
drinking.
You skydive?
So,
were you drinking when you jumped?
No, no. He wouldn't have let me. You're not allowed to go when you're drunk or under the influence or anything. Probably 10 years ago. But I've done it twice, and it was the most amazing thing ever.
No, it's not.
You don't, like, that you guys think foolish. That your stomach drops, like, in a roller coaster? It's not like that at all.
Your whole body's dropping.
Yeah, but your stomach.
Like, literally.
You just, honestly, I have to say it's the most freeing thing ever, just falling and just looking around. It's amazing.
I don't want to be free then, if that's the case.
I don't want to be free.
Jumping up and playing.
Happy to be
on the ground.
On level ground.
Yes,
level par.
Indeed.
You know, it's very rare to have a skydiving accident, like extremely rare.
Unless you can tell me there's a 100% chance I land safe.
100% chance.
No, there's not. You can't prove that. I'm good.
I don't know what's more likely, Tony, a skydiving accident or getting bit by a shark, but I don't believe you'll be threatened by either.
Won't have to worry about me being a statistic on either of those two.
No. Unless somebody lets a shark loose in a pool, swimming pool, or a bathtub.
Right.
You're otherwise okay.
That's the only way you're going to get me on that one.
I just read about...
Well, with all the pranks that are going on these days, it might be possible.
No kidding.
I just read about a woman who was attacked by a shark over the summer, and she lost her arm, and the insurance company is denying her a prosthetic. That's why I read about it, because it came up. But she said that she punched the shark in the gills, and it went away. So that's my move.
It's supposed to be the nose.
Yeah, but she got the gills.
What did she punch the shark with?
That's why she lost a limb, because she went
fist.
For the gill.
Like,
gotta get
no,
the nose.
But she lost a limb, so did she punch with the other limb?
I'm assuming, yeah. You go like, she can't do it with the one that's in the mouth.
Oh, boy. It's a rough day.
I'm good.
That is a rough
day. I'm
good.
Speaking of rough days, Cleveland Cavaliers are having one. Halftime in OKC, NBA's top two teams. Tonight, all Thunder, 75-52 at halftime. 23-point margin, Scraby, so you don't have to subtract.
Thank you.
But the Thunder on pace for 150 tonight. I don't know if they quite get there, but big first half for OKC. All right, earlier, our guy, Bryce Miller from the San Diego Union-Tribune. He's always funny on this show, too.
He's got a great sense of humor.
He does. And he scolded me about my crappy earbuds. And he also gave us a whole bunch of information about stuff going on in San Diego sports, including the upcoming SDFC.
I want to start with San Diego FC. You wrote an article a couple days ago really highlighting their first opportunity to get on the field together at the new facility. Tell us a little bit about what you saw that day.
Well, for me, that was the first time I'd seen the facility, the performance center. It's really impressive in person. It's got the kind of cool thing going for it in terms of aesthetics, but it's also just this really compartmentalized things. It's not just for Sandy. I mean, it's got, you know, workout, weight rooms, cafeteria, and without getting to the weeds on this Right to Dream program, there's only four of them in the world, I think, and San Diego has one in the U.S. It's in Ghana, Egypt, and Denmark. So by the end of the year, they're going to have players coming in as young as 12, and it's this integration thing between the two and building players from within, and they have to accommodate that too and take that into account. In fact, they've embraced it. That's a big part of what they're about and want to do. So you got that look at what the beginning stages look like and felt like, and that was impressive. But it's also time to connect with, you know, the people in the front office, the, you know, see the team on the field, get a sense for the access that was limited but at the beginning of the workout that you could see how some of that's coming together. And there's a lot of interest in what the players and the style will be. I mean, Chucky Lozano from Mexico is an absolute superstar and played in a couple World Cups. He's won championships in multiple levels. And he'll be a huge draw, a cross-border draw for this club. And I think that will be a big benefit to them right out of the gate. But you saw a little slice of all of that.
Bryce Miller's with us, and of course we're, you know, pretty excited about this SDFC, and it's kind of coming back at us a little more quietly than I expected, Bryce. I'm sure it'll ramp up here in the next month or so, because we're not that far away from the opening game. We did have the coach on a couple of weeks ago, enjoyed chatting with him, and we asked him, you know, how successful can they be in the inaugural season. And he was a little measured, you know, in what he was predicting, and that's probably smart of him to do. But how successful will the league allow them to be as an expansion team? And then off the field, what are their expectations and what are yours? I'm sorry, I asked you 14 questions there. My bad.
you act like we haven't met, Chris. But Tyler Heaps, the sporting director of the club, essentially, if you're not into soccer, think of it as the A.J. Preller of San Diego FC. You know, he said they are building this with plans to compete right away, to get in the playoffs right away. On one hand, you got to feel like he means that. But on the other hand, just being pragmatic, what's he supposed to say? So there's a little of that baked in, but it's just so hard to know. You don't know what you have with any of these players beyond their resume and beyond what you see on tape. You don't know what they look like together. So how realistic is it that they could be that kind of club right out of the gate? We asked these same questions with Wave FC, and they immediately were in the playoffs, and they won the Shield last year, which is the best regular season team in the NWSL, and then the wheels fell off. I mean, so all those scenarios feel like they're possible. But the one thing that's for sure, they go into this with a lot of optimism.
Yeah, Tyler Leaps is the one tasked with putting this team together. And I think part of the reason, I think that question is getting asked, as you just kind of alluded to, Bryce, is you saw the Wave come in their first year and have some success in their second year. And I think a lot of people felt like that helped, you know, really bring the crowd and people supporting this team. Do you think it's the same for San Diego FC, or do you think they'll be given a little grace period here?
Well, I think that point's good, and it's true for everything. I mean, even, you know, winning brings eyeballs and interest. And look at the Padres. I mean, there was a following in the city, no doubt. It kind of ramped up in importance after the Chargers left. But when it really became sellout after sellout after sellout is when you go out and get Manny Machado, when Fernando Tatis Jr. is here, when they're playing in the 2022 NLDS. So winning kind of colors all of that. And I don't feel like they'll be in a different boat except for this. I think one kind of differentiating factor is this cross border influence potentially with Mexico.
Yeah.
A ton of, you know, there are players starting with Chucky Lozano that, you know, anybody across on the south side of that border, they know him well. They, they're not being introduced to him in this moment, not even close. And we saw what happened when the Mexican national team would come play at old Qualcomm Stadium. They'd sell it out, and there would be cars ditched on the side of the road because they couldn't get in, and people were walking in.
That's true.
So I think they have that, which is unique and, you know, potentially substantial. But so for that reason, I think they'll be successful. But the winning is what's linked to the kind of long-term stability.
Bryce Miller is with us from the San Diego Union-Tribune. And, yes, soccer is around the corner. Also, baseball season's coming up, Bryce. And I imagine everybody's asking you the same question they ask us. Is Sasaki going to sign here? And nobody knows the answer. So, you know, it's a really a wait and see. But what Tony and I have been kind of surmising is that this is really one of the bigger decisions, you know, coming down here for the Padre fans. I think Padre fans are giving it a bit of an all or nothing, whether they should or not. That's the sense I get, that if we get Sasaki, we're going to be good. And if we don't, we're going to be terrible. There's no in between right now.
Well, there is an in between, but even that being said, and I've said this for weeks, this could be a seminal moment for the Padres. It's absolutely a huge decision. It's not just his potential to be an ace caliber pitcher, even though that's big in and of itself, but it's his controllability. It's his affordability out of the gate. That's huge. We know in the last year, the club really shifted to being mindful of the money more than ever before because of the competitive balance tax and the penalties they were paying on that. And they hit the reset button on that in terms of penalties. The longer you go, the more consecutive years face those penalties, they increase. And so they're able to reset and at least get that piece of it under control. And we just went through arbitration, but you've still got Michael King that you're unclear where that heads in terms of money. Sasaki not only gives you exactly what you need, potentially, he gives you somebody that's affordable and controllable for a long time. So for all those reasons, it's just an absolutely huge decision. And the other thing, it kind of offsets to some degree everything going on with the Dodgers, who are now your biggest rival, and you can say that and mean it because competitively, the Padres took them closer to the brink than any team in the playoffs last season, and it's just one of those things you can't – it would be hard to swallow the possibility of him saying no to San Diego and saying yes to the Dodgers.
It does feel like a huge decision coming down the pipeline. I think last year our experience during the offseason with the Dodgers signed who they signed, the Padres kind of added here and there. Next thing you know, the Padres were on the same playing field, regardless of what happened. I think you're right. The Sasaki signing would allow for at least the thought to feel like, okay, we're back on that same playing field despite what they've done, where if it's flipped, it feels...
This call will be recorded.
It feels like a...
Is that the same thing you heard on your iPhone? Remember that one time? Bryce, are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
It kind of feels like it's a landslide in the other direction. So you're 100% right. Do you have a sense on how the Padres feel after all of these meetings have taken place at this point?
Well, I think they have to feel it's kind of a mix of things, I would think. It's the one thing that's been clear in the last maybe 2 weeks is the Padres seem to be in better standing with Sasaki and his camp than maybe people would have thought out of the gate. I think so many people initially thought this was a Dodgers no-brainer, and it doesn't sound like that now. At the same time, I know the kind of fight, you know, for the control person position and what that would mean, you know, within the team and what that would mean or not mean to Sasaki and his people, that's hard to know. Maybe it's a factor. Maybe it's a complete non-factor. I could see either of those things being true. But it seems like they are better positioned than we initially thought.
Bryce Miller is our guest. And we're hearing or reading Bryce, about that we got the golf coming up here, the Farmers, and we're reading also that the Genesis Invitational, which is in the middle of February, is going to be moved because of what's happening in Los Angeles. And yeah, we certainly understand that. And apparently, you're hearing that Torrey Pines is a possibility. We could end up getting two tournaments here this year.
Yeah. I started working on this morning, and I was going to write something that they were a contender. I talked to Marty Gorsuch, who's the tournament director for the Farmers Insurance Open. And essentially what he told me earlier in the day is he hadn't been contacted, but he thinks they would be a possibility just because of the geographic location. So that was going to be what I wrote. So when I checked with the PGA, a spokesman there told me, you know, hang on, we might have something to release. And just after 1 o'clock, they released that they are going to move the Genesis Open just because it's in Pacific Palisades, and we all know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just hope for the best for that region. But at the same time, they've got a plan, and they probably haven't had enough time to assess the feasibility of playing there. Riviera Country Club's on the eastern end of Pacific Palisades, kind of sandwiched with Santa Monica there. So they may not have gotten the brunt of it that region did, but still a lot to consider. So I talked to Marty Gorsuch in the one after the decision too, and he said, well, I still haven't gotten a call. And one of the things is, this is just his gut feeling that, you know, if we were really on a short list, I would think they would have gotten a hold of us. They said they're going to announce in the coming days, which seems to be a short timeline. But he said my phone could ring in 2 minutes, you know, that kind of thing. You think about, in my address, talking to him about Pebble Beach and Phoenix, where the waste management event is a week earlier on the schedule than the tournament in Pacific Palisades. So there's a lot, and the logistics of it are numbing. L.A., we all know they postponed some NBA games for a while, but they moved an NFL game to Arizona.
Yeah.
So it's so new to everybody. Everything's on the table. But the impact potentially on Torrey Pines, if they were to get a call, is really interesting.
Bryce, love catching up with you today. As always, love hearing from you. We'll catch up with you at some point down the line.
Okay, don't get any spaghetti on your earbuds.
That's for Chris.
All right, Bryce, working on it. We got a couple minutes to go here. Not really, even now.
No, we don't.
Scrappy Chronicles is like, no, I want in now.
He's hoping for the Roki breaking news during his hour.
Yeah, right. It's
lunchtime, Roki. Come on.
10:53 in Japan, Roki, so get to it. Poor Cleveland. They had 52 points at halftime. Then OKC challenged a three-point shot, and the guy was standing out of bounds, so they took it away from them. Cleveland was actually had 49 points and was down 26 at the half. Now they're down 29. OKC is having a big night. Scraby will take you home. For Tony, Chris, adios.
Peace out.